It's very spooky out there.
Okay.
Yeah. Now there we go.
That was kind of scary.
Yeah. I felt like my laugh was very Woody Harrelson like, but you know, but we'll work on that. That's a work in progress.
We got a little bit to work on.
We'll get there. So yeah, welcome back. We got Tay and
hey
Travis.
Oh, hi.
Sean Jordan is absent tonight.
He's got an anniversary thing. He's putting on the old Cisco CD with a lady.
Yeah. 1 3-minute story at a time. I mean, I feel like someday Cisco's thing, it's going to be like the great American novel. You know, going to be like Hemingway, where people just go back and then they go back and back over and over again just to rediscover it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to learn more about it and to learn more about themselves at the same time.
100%.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yes. So we're going to start our Halloween series tonight. So this is going to be looking at scary movies.
Spoopy.
For the Halloween season.
Well, scary movies / monster movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween appropriate films.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So we're going to start with Tremors.
Yeah.
Which is a classic cult film, 1990. Spawned a whole bunch of sequels, which, to be honest, I haven't seen any of them.
You haven't seen any?
Mm-mm. Just the first one.
The first two are worth it.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Then stop.
Yeah. Wait. Which one was the Western one?
Number four.
Okay. That one actually was kind of okay. Travis does not approve of that, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, Travis looks very angry. So, basically, quick rundown. I've heard this described many times as Jaws in the desert. And I think that's appropriate. Basically, I would say a group of small town eccentrics in the middle of Nevada deal with a land shark, or like it was a graboid, is what they're called.
Yes.
An underground monster that comes up out of the ground and eats people. So, basic gist of it. You have some very eccentric characters played by some recognizable people.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bacon in an early starring role post Footloose. Reba McEntire, which I believe was post-Fancy, but...
what the hell's Fancy?
Her big song.
Yeah,
her big song, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Her first film role, though, right?
Yeah, it was her debut. Fred Ward, who's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you can look up his filmography, you'll recognize him for sure. He was definitely... I think of him as the villain on the third Naked Gun movie. So, yeah, I think of him getting in the brawl with Lieutenant Drebin. The dad from Family Ties, Michael Gross.
Love him.
I heard Michael Gross, and I don't like that pronunciation.
Yeah.
We're going to continue with Michael Gross.
That's like GIF. I can't get that out of my brain.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the guy who created GIF said.
GIF.
Yeah, no. So he is Michael Gross. And that's the way it is. He is Josie Grossy. Mm-hmm. We have to live with it.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically this is would you call this a horror comedy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tay, this was your pick, but stolen from me, but continue.
Yeah, no, I'm 100%. The more I've watched it over and over and over again, if you really think about it, and Todd, and I'm sure you'll probably get into it, but there's not really a whole lot of quote-unquote horror involved. There are some, like, suspenseful scenes, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, it really is just that. There's a lot of comedy involved in it, but there's these certain scenes where, you know, you don't even really see a lot of the graboid. It's just... you just know it's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is comical. And the more I've watched it, just it is actually a really good written movie. Like, just dialogue-wise.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if it really was intentional to be that way, mm-hmm. but it is a comedy, in my opinion.
It's very funny.
A comedy that just happens to have a gigantic monster that lives in the ground.
Yeah. A lot of parallels to Jaws. I mean, other than the basic plot, it's like you don't see a lot of the monster, like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's only hinted at in a lot of the movie. You see what it's doing. You know, you see it, you know, pulling down cars or tearing up buildings, but you don't actually see the monster except in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it starts off picking off people, you know, before it gets to the basically the main cast who have to hunt it and kill it, but you see it picking off random, like the couple building their own house and yada yada. Like, it's, you see like how destructive it is before, yeah, you know, the final battle gets set up.
And it gets smarter as it goes on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It learns.
Yeah.
They remember. And yeah, it's like there's ways to defeat it. You know, it has weaknesses. So, but yeah, and basically the people have to band together and get smart, like Jaws, to figure out how to kill it.
Yeah.
So it really is like a nature, man versus nature kind of thing.
And I like how they had like all the members of the town in there. I think the population was something like 14.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But you had the shop where everybody congregated. You had like the crazy survivalist couple. You had the mother-daughter with the daughter with the pogo. Oh, also the little girl from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
And yeah, this is 100%, you know, inspired by Jaws, because, you know, everybody, their car is essentially becomes the boat, where, you know, it's a very The Floor is Lava style movie.
Yeah.
Which is just fun to watch. But it's interesting that the monsters have like rules, like, all right, you can get on some boulders. Like, it's 100%. It's Floor is Lava.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's,
you gotta get higher.
I love it.
Yeah. No, Earl, you gotta get higher.
Yeah. The guy sitting in a tire.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But yeah. And you know, they have like different, very different characters, like, you know, Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward are basically like, they're kind of the Tucker and Dale type guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little bit smarter than Tucker and Dale. They're a little bit handier, but they're still like kind of the two bumpkins that,
oh, yeah,
are in charge of. Basically, they're the two muscle guys when it comes to killing the monster.
Yeah. Well, anytime you have your protagonist like pissing off the edge of a cliff and then like scratching his ass, like in the first 15 seconds you meet him, it's like, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Eating bologna and beans, yeah, and eggs in the morning, and yeah.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff.
Hashtag wiener tits.
And then having, it's not like a buddy cop drama, but Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward's chemistry on screen was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're back and forth bullshit.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. And this movie is, so I always talk about how, especially like direct to video horror films where it's just like a slasher, is just money in the bank, because all they need to do is film the POV of like the slasher walking around the house and maybe coming up to kill somebody. But they do the same thing in this film. They have like little dust clouds,
yeah,
showing, or like fence falling down to show you where the graboid is chasing after somebody. And they, yeah, much like Jaws, they try to show you almost nothing until the end.
Just a fin.
Yeah.
And then they get to spend all their money on explosions, other craziness. Mm-hmm. And I thought the monsters were cool in and of themselves. And it was a monster fake out, because they didn't put on the poster what the creatures look like. So you just see the weird little tongue tendrils at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's a fake out that I think works pretty well.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever heard the phrase tongue tendrils before, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a new thing.
That's my Wi-Fi password.
Tongue tendrils one.
It's in my search history also.
Yeah. So, Tay, what'd you think? I mean, and how many times have you seen it?
Far too many times. It is one of those, I honestly couldn't tell you the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know.
Same.
And I don't know if it was just like, I really think, I think my family was like, mom or dad was like, rented it and watched it. And I watched it with them. And I was like, this is really weird. But I've revisited it because kind of like some of my favorite films, they tend to be on TV a lot.
Yeah.
And there for a while, like, Tremors was just on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept watching it and watching it and watching it. And then I was like, okay. But Travis, I think you and I we started to watch the other ones, like the two and the three. And then that got to me to like revisit the first one again and just, yeah, to realize like how good it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know,
Tay and I were roomies for a while and we didn't, yeah, have any cable. So we watched a lot of DVDs.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah,
think I brought some and Taylor was like, what the fuck is this? Well, there's nothing else on it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
That's how I got Taylor to enjoy Lord of the Rings.
That's, oh, true. Yeah. Yeah. I watched that. Yeah.
All these years later.
Mm. I know. It's one of my favorites.
And here we are.
Still the one.
It's still a good. It is one of my favorite films. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say, you know, sit here, give it X amount of stars. It's just, it is a film that is very cult-ish. And it has totally grown to that with all these other, you know, I guess, what, there's seven of them now?
Yeah.
Seven or eight? I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, is there an animated series on it? Needs to be.
There was a sci-fi TV series.
That was 13 episodes.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't terrible. I know, like, at least one of the episodes, I was like, oh, this is really pretty good.
Yeah.
But obviously, they were on a sci-fi budget, and they couldn't, you know, do as much as they did in the films.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, like I said earlier, I love the dialogue. But, you know, there is, it's like you have the two guys at the very beginning. It's like, okay, they're buddies. They're trying to find a better life for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're like, all right, we're getting out of here. Fuck this place. We're gone.
Yeah.
And then they go out. They can't get out because of a situation with the road. Mm-hmm. They also find a love interest, which wasn't really a love interest, I guess, per se. But they found a lovely lady that made them want to save the town, kind of.
Yeah.
It was like she kind of gave them hope, a ray of hope. Mm-hmm. That whole time when they were back in there, I really thought, I was like, man, this is a well-stocked convenience store.
Yes.
This is a very well-stocked for 14 people.
Yeah.
And also, the girl from Jurassic Park, where is she getting her education from?
Exactly.
And I was like, are we homeschooling here?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, just these little things, because it seemed like it was pretty far away. And then you had the town drunk, who, spoiler alert, you know, is stuck on a damn pole because he can't. Yeah, Edgar. Mm-hmm. Goddamn Edgar, I got to get up there and get you. I was like, first of all, Kevin Bacon, great accent.
Yes.
And it was like, great accent.
Yes.
But the film really does, to me, hit Ike. And again, kind of like one of my favorites, Con Air. It just hits everything. Like, it is like, it really, in a comedic way, but it really does hit like every aspect of like a film.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just still one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's very, I get like Shaun of the Dead vibes from it a little bit.
Goofy.
Yeah. And that it does basically everything very pretty well. Like I thought the monsters were cool. The monster fake out was cool. The all of the gore that happens once they blow it up. Because they're just like going fishing. Mm-hmm. Michael Gross and Reba McEntire in this film.
Yes.
I love them so much.
One of the best on-screen couples in movie history.
I mean, Michael Gross, I know you're listening to this right now. Bring Reba back for the eighth film.
Yes.
I mean, one, two, and three were excellent. Four, okay. Five, maybe. Six.
No. See, I don't know. I already had the title.
But
it's Tremors 7. Eight. Tremors 8. Reba's Revenge. It was like, she comes back, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's how you start the new series. You say, okay, well, you know, I haven't seen 7, so I'm not really sure.
No.
But, you know, she's here to avenge Gross's death. She comes back. She comes, you know, whatever. If he dead or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like it's ready.
Yeah. You know?
What is the best line in this? Is it Reba's like, good Lord, honey, you didn't even get penetration with the elephant gun. Is that the best line?
I definitely laughed and thought of you
hearing
that line. But
broke on the wrong Galdern rec room, you didn't, you son of a bitch.
What was the younger boy's name?
Oh,
you know,
Melvin.
Melvin, goddamn it, you mother. It's like, I don't know why. Whenever they yelled at Melvin, I just loved every second of it. It's like, Melvin, you son of a bitch. It's like, wait, what?
And they just give him a gun out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's Bert, you bastard.
Yeah, Bert, you bastard.
I looked for an Atlanta Hawks hat like Bert's for the longest time. I can't find one.
That's a Halloween costume right there. We could do a Tremors theme party.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I'd be totally down with that.
Because Michael Gross was in, well, he's been in all the films. But again, I know we're talking about one, but two and three are definitely worth it. And Bert Gummer just gets.
That's just like Police Academy. It's like one, two, and three are essential.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's hit and miss.
Yeah, they go to Russia.
Yeah, and if Motormouth isn't in it, you're not in good shape. So this movie is kind of like the Buckaroo Banzai, where it didn't do well at the box office. It wasn't a hit. So it grossed $16 million on a $10 million budget.
Yeah, they thought it was going to make about five times what it made.
Yeah.
It did not. But it did really well on like home video release and like rentals and stuff.
It was hit. That's how I first saw it.
It was one of the biggest rentals, I think,
Of
1990, because I read Wikipedia before I came over here.
But that's how I first experienced it, was on home
video. I think I sound the same way. Yeah.
The old TBS. Mm-hmm. It was on there all the time. So I saw this piecemeal, like I did like Groundhog Day and several other films.
And this is a classic movie for me that when it pops up like that, I'll sit and watch about 10 minutes of it or so. Just to. You know, it's kind of like walking by a big old plate of chips. It's like, I'm going to have a few. I don't know. Or like just appetizers in general. It's like nachos. I'm going to have some nachos. I'm not going to have the whole plate, but I'm going to have quite a few nachos.
Oh, I have the whole plate.
Yeah.
If it's Tremors, I have the whole plate.
Yeah. I mean, I usually do too, but just for the sake of that metaphor.
Like, I'm just going to watch a little bit of it. Then you hit a couple of commercials and you're like, what else am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm already sad and depressed. I'm just going to watch the rest of this.
Yeah. I got to pull myself together.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm watching Tremors.
Hell yeah.
Con Air is the same way though. I've multiple times have sat and watched a big chunk of Con Air on TV.
I know the world is bleak. Times are tough. You know, everybody, you know, there's just a lot of shit on TV. And I'm not, you know, if you're having a dark time, obviously, you know, seek some help, mental stability is great. You need it. But if you just want to watch Con Air, mm-hmm. that's going to change a lot of your life.
Yeah.
It was like, that will change, put you in a better mood right away.
You can't not smile.
No.
Same thing exactly. with Tremors. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Tremors is the same way. It's just like.
It's like trying to frown eating ice cream. Can't do it.
Yeah. You have to be happy.
Yeah.
You just see the world better. Once you see Kevin Bacon fighting desert monsters.
Yeah.
It's like this, everything makes more sense now.
You know, they tried to do a comeback series for Tremors in 2015, 2016, and they filmed a pilot. Kevin Bacon came back. Mm. It was canceled. They were like, nope, don't think so.
Those assholes.
That's goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it.
And yet we get 3 seasons of Fuller House.
I can't say anything because I never watched it, but then again.
I watched like the first 2 episodes.
The Fuller House, we watched the pilot. Yeah, I would dry heave for about 10 minutes after it was over.
Yeah. When they made fun of Mary-Kate and Ashley, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they weren't even in it.
Yeah.
It was just,
I just won't have that.
They're off, like, solving crimes and. Like,
yeah, it takes 2. Yeah, them and Kirstie Alley and Steve Guttenberg are all solving crimes together.
You know what movie needs to get remade? Look Who's Talking. We need more talking.
We need to get that going.
John Travolta's voice. Yeah.
We need to do that while we still have Bruce Willis.
I know.
You know, well, he's still with us. Mm.
So what would it be? So there was 1 and 2, and then now. I think that's when the dogs were talking.
Yeah.
But I think the baby's voice in the new one would be Tracy Morgan.
I could see that. I could see Tracy Morgan doing that.
But you got to bring back Roseanne.
Ooh.
And Danny DeVito.
Oh, you can't do that these days.
Yeah, Roseanne got canceled.
Yep.
But I think
Reba.
Reba. Ooh, Tracy Morgan and Reba as the two babies.
Yep.
I'm in all the way with that.
Yep.
And yeah, this could be Look Who's Talking, Reba's Revenge.
Nice.
Penetration with the elephant gun.
So we're drinking Folly of the Beast. Pinot Noir.
A few household chemicals in the proper proportion.
That's a great line.
Which we will discuss those characters in a second. I enjoyed them a lot. Folly of the Beast. I thought just the name seemed appropriate, especially because the label depicts a whale, you know, kind of coming out of the ground or the water or whatever. And I looked around for something monster themed in a pretty good sized store, and that was what I could find. Was like, well, Folly of the Beast, it works, in a kind of a peripheral way. But for our next podcast, we're going to talk about aliens, and we are drinking a Riesling. So, and actually, a Riesling from the Finger Lakes of New York.
The James Cameron Aliens.
Yes.
The sequel one. To the Sigourney Weaver. Scott.
And that was one that I had debated doing for our sequel series because it's a unique sequel. But coming back around to Tremors. I think this is a good Halloween movie. What do you think makes it, in your opinion, a good Halloween movie?
All right. So it doesn't scream Halloween to me, but any Halloween movie, that's the time when, I'll watch Dracula, Godzilla, any crazy, another good alien film is The Faculty, I was thinking about the other day. I was like,
God.
That's better than I remembered. But, yeah. I mean, it's got shitty 90s CGI, but still a good film.
Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh,
Jordana
yeah.
Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
Pamka Jansen.
We saw that
John Stewart in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Stewart.
Teacher.
Yeah.
And then the,
got his head smashed the T-1000 with the aquarium.
Whoever the dude that played the T-1000 in
Oh, Robert Patrick. He was also in Wayne's World.
Yeah, he was.
He was the coach.
Yeah, he was the coach. We saw it in theaters, and I believe
We saw Salma Hayek. Sorry, I keep thinking.
Yeah, I think we saw it in the Dollar Theater.
Ooh.
And when I hear Salma Hayek, I'm legally contractually obligated to.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I really wanted From Dusk Till Dawn to be one of my films also for this, but like there's just not enough time. We will get to From Dusk Till Dawn and maybe The Faculty as well.
Yeah.
There were too many. We should have near the end of our series of this, like other honorable mentions that people also need to watch.
Yes. And From Dusk Till Dawn is great. I didn't love it the first time I watched it. It had to grow on me a little bit. So it took a couple
of kind of the same for me.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I just didn't quite understand it at first. And then now it's obviously one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Written by Tarantino, directed by Robert Rodriguez, as I remember.
It's kind of, I mean, I know we're not talking about it now, but it's kind of Grindhouse-esque because it's one film for the first hour and another film for the second half.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it was Grindhouse before Grindhouse.
Yep.
So.
Burt Gummer, Reba.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we were coming back to them?
Yeah. I really enjoyed those characters, and I think it's no mistake that Michael Gross's character became like basically the hero of the series, you know, because it's like he seems to be the most resourceful. He's built to kill those graboids with those massive, like, potato guns he's got, you know?
Yeah, that's in the sequel, yeah. Or no, that's in the third one. It was a potato gun.
Yeah.
Back to perfection.
Yeah.
I think that I can't say that I haven't seen the sequels, but it's like, I think he and Reba are a good team in this movie.
Yeah. I don't know why, you know, she didn't want to come back. I'm pretty sure she was like direct to video. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Stars on the rise.
Yeah.
Well, not so fast, Reba.
And it's probably difficult for like, you know, to pin down musicians, you know, they're always touring and doing stuff. So they're probably difficult to get into movies.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, but. Go back to what Travis was talking about being a Halloween film. You're right. Like, I don't know if I would just, like, oh, yeah, this is a Halloween film. This is exactly, you know, this is what you watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just fits kind of like, when I think of Halloween films, I think of like, all right, if I like turn the lights down, I sit down and I chill out and it's like, you know, dark outside, this film might give me the heebie-jeebies. And it was like, and Tremors isn't necessarily that, but it could be. If you're watching for the first time, be like, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, to me now, it's just a pure fucking comedy for me. But it was like, but it's one of those where I think, you know, if you hadn't seen it, this would be considered, you could say, be like, oh, a Halloween or horror movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'd use air quotes on that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Oy vey.
It's, you know, tough. It's tough.
It is tough because, you know, I try to go even keel here, and I know what kind of film it is, but if you're just talking about like overall everything, oh my God, I hate to say it because I want to be like 9, but I know that's not the case, but I would definitely say like a 6.5 for me.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's still just a great film, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like it was the greatest film ever written or produced, but to me, it is a comfort film, and
most
I think
definitely.
And I think that people who watch it would think the same thing, be like, you could watch this over and over and over and over again.
Yeah,
I want to skew higher, but I'll say probably 6.5. I would say 7.
Yeah, I almost said 7, but
I mean, that's my own biased opinion. Like, it's no Shakespeare, it's no Godfather, it's no Jaws, but it does pay homage in, you know, a way that, to me, I just love it. I love watching it over and over again. And the reason I think it's maybe a good Halloween film is because there's not everybody likes the crazy ghost stories or the jump scares and all that. Like, if you're wanting to watch a fun monster movie, not like crazy amounts of gore, like, I don't know if I'd call this a family film, but, you know, if your kids are in their teens, absolutely, then it's a family film.
Yeah. I'm almost in kind of the 7 range, you know. And it's weird, like, I've noticed this is whenever I write a review, sometimes in the course of writing the review, my rating changes based on what I'm writing. It's like, where it kind of becomes obvious, like, I like this movie more than I thought, just based on my writing. It's like, it's just like, it's kind of like my feelings come out through the words. It's like, I like this more than I realized, you know, or I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So sometimes they go up or down during the review. But I think I would have a lot of fun writing this review. I think the movie brings a lot of, like, it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have fun writing about it. Well, so that, I think that would reflect.
And it's kind of curious to me, like, because obviously, Todd, this is what you do, and you're good at it with the reviews. Well, but but it's always curious to me, like, to write a review, you know, I would love to see Ebert, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But it's like him to not even look at like an old review, but rewatch a movie and then write a because like I'd be curious to be like, hey, you know what? Fuck that previous review. That was stupid. Mm-hmm. This is a 4-star movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's really cool to be, you know, to go back and be like, man, because I remember there's been a few films like that. It's like, well, I mean, like, I think Dust Till Dawn. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. I was like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. Then went back and watched it. And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
What they were doing, like, what a ballsy ass film. And like, and actually really good.
Yeah.
You know?
He did that with The Godfather Part 2. When it came out, he gave it a very mixed review.
Yeah.
And basically saying he didn't get it and it was too long, too confusing, and he didn't think much of it. But then he went back and watched it like 20 years later.
Yeah.
And he had a list online of like his great movies, which was like the top 1% of 1% movies, and he put it in that group.
After the 20 year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said this, I mean, it was 4 stars and like, you know, this is top of the heap. Great movie. And ironically, another movie he did that for that's going to shock you, The Big Lebowski.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He gave it a mixed review when it came out, but then he watched it multiple times afterwards and loved it.
Yeah. I was the same. I didn't love it like you guys did when saw it the first time. And then I think I misremembered some scenes also. But yeah, after watching it again, I was like, okay.
That's a movie why I didn't even, I will never bring it up here because that's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Cause I loved it the minute I watched it.
Yeah.
And I found it always so curious to like go back and like watch a movie like that and be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what was I writing about?
Mm-hmm.
That's always kind of interesting to me.
He did that, for a lot of movies. A movie like The Color Purple, he actually liked it less the second time.
Oh, wow.
Still, like, loved the movie, but, like, kind of downgraded his opinion of it a little bit. But, yeah, that was a thing that he did.
I mean, Tremors, I mean, he would probably have given 5.5 stars. he would have just broken his whole head. He'd be like, I can't even, you know, this is above and beyond.
Compared to the bullshit that's come out in recent years, like, this, we've got to bump this up a few notches.
Yeah.
Well, it's great because this was before all, like, the CGI special effects, which in some of the sequels started to kind of bog it down. They were like, all right, sweet. We can show them on screen all the time, and it kind of lost some of the magic. I mean, they evolved the monsters, too. But what's great is it's all, like, practical effects.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah. And just crazy. Some of the creatures just look like a fucked up, like, sock puppet.
Oh, I know.
The tongue tendril things, the grabbers or whatever.
I love that.
Yeah, little snake deals. But, yeah, it just dust exploding, fences falling down, and you're like, yes, I'm going to put this on in the big screen.
Well, and again, going back to Jaws, that the most expensive thing of that film, because, you know, the salaries of the actors couldn't have been shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the explosions here and there. But, I mean, especially when they're in the bunker, that had to be the most expensive for the mechanical graboid. It was like the mouth is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's coming. And it's like that had to be the most expensive scene.
Yeah. Well, there is that one scene where they're definitely standing in front of a blue screen firing at the thing in the background, which, you know, didn't super age well, but the rest of it, the wall when you see it up close, is very cool. And that's one of my favorite scenes as well, because you see them firing on this and you're like, oh, it's not working, and then they take 2-3 steps back and you're like, oh shit, this guy's like the Punisher. He's got like an entire arsenal.
I love like the old Stan Winston, like the monster effects and stuff. I mean, like the Ray Harryhausen, like I love those old school effects. You know, it's like there's something digital effects look great and all that, but it's like there's something you kind of miss, at least I do, of those old school special effects.
Yeah, I was debating, we watched Superman 1978 for mine, but also I was debating doing the 1933 King Kong.
Yeah.
The original. I fucking love King Kong.
Yeah. Is that the movie that made you love monster movies?
It was. I think my dad was watching TV in his room one time, and I walked in and was like, oh my God, what is this? And it was the T-Rex fight. I was like, this is
badass.
Yeah. This is that kickstarted my nerdery.
Well, that story was going to go somewhere completely different.
Oh.
Walked into my dad's bedroom one time, and I was like, what is this?
Why is it so smoky in here? Well, it smells funny.
Yeah.
What's in that ashtray?
Okay, so side note real quick. So you'd obviously give King Kong a 10, the original.
Oh, I mean.
Or 9 or 10.
Yeah, it's up there for me.
What would you give Peter Jackson's remake?
In 2005, I it was way too long.
Yeah,
it made me sad.
Yeah,
he had the three parts: one, getting to the island, and then an hour on the island, and then an hour of being back in New York. Brutal. But it was way too long for me. King Kong is not just like let's put a big gorilla out there.
Yeah,
he's kind of a Neanderthal type ape, yeti, whatever, and it just. Yeah, the coolest part of that film was the fight with the three T-Rexes.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm pretty much done.
Yeah. So coming up, we have Aliens as our next podcast. And then with Sean back on board, we're going to do Fright Night and 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have a couple of surprises for Halloween itself. We're going to have some good stuff on that night that you can listen to. With the lights down low.
Boo.
Because I've been told that I have a very good lights down low voice. That
I don't know who told you that.
Yeah, that's...
They were wrong.
My mom.
My mom thinks I'm cool.
But anyway, this has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It has.
Love Todd you guys.
Walker, yeah.
Tay.
Trav.
Is. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
There we go.
Or at least a roar.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
What is the Price is Right sound whenever somebody overbids?